Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the telephone this weekend by Senator Andreas Borges, a Republican who represents District 8 in the California Senate. Senator Borges, we ended segment one talking about coronavirus in the state of California. What type of impact has it had just when it comes to meetings and the way of life at the state capitol?
Virtually everything has changed. Now, when before we went back into session, and we're authorized to go back to Sacramento, we did everything remotely. So just like everybody else, we incorporated Zoom, a lot of telephone meetings, a lot of teleconferencing. But all the offices were essentially closed where people were doing their work remotely, just certainly not in person. Now, we got kind of accustomed to that so that when the green light was given for Sacramento to reopen, what we didn't necessarily anticipate were the protests and the demonstrations that took over Sacramento. When I returned to Sacramento, it was a semi-militarized region. And what I mean by that is the National Guard was called in because of the looting and the aggressive demonstrations that occurred a couple of nights. So there were armored vehicles and soldiers with military weaponry, and then you had the CHP and local authorities that would only allow certain individuals into the building. And so it was very surreal to go back to Sacramento, to the state capitol, and have it be a semi-militarized environment. But that lasted for about a week. There were curfews and certainly a lot of ambulances security concerns. But once that passed, we got back to the people's business. But inside the building, it is very, very strict in terms of what can be done and what cannot be done. For example, they were testing temperatures upon arrival in the building. Each office is allowed to only have one other person. So imagine a senator or assembly member, instead of having the whole cadre of associates and colleagues to work with, would be allowed only one, everybody else working remotely. So masks, mandatory, separation, absolute, meaning that they reconfigured the rooms and the buildings so that individuals would have their required six-foot separation. I have plexiglass in front of me. So the short end of it is that in every conceivable way, it has changed. But you know what? We can do this. We have been doing it. We will continue to do it because even though these are inconvenient and they're aggravating at times, this is what needs to be done to get us through, and that's what we're going to do.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you on a committee as well that was kind of looking at some of the spending early on during the coronavirus pandemic?
I was appointed to the pandemic recovery task force, and that again meets this week. The charge of this committee early on when I was appointed to it was, what is California doing right and what is California doing wrong as it pertains to dealing with the pandemic? Now, things that we did right, we closed down and implemented safety protocols quickly, which allowed California, as I mentioned earlier, to be better off than other parts of the state. What did we not do well? We did not anticipate the amount of people needing social service support for unemployment checks, for other federal support, other state financial support. All of that ran through one department, the EDD. So at the time, they had a basic crew. But when you have millions of people needing social service and financial support being run through this one specific department, we complained and the governor reprioritized personnel from all over the government family to be relocated to this particular division to help out. That's something that needs to be worked upon, and that will be part of our recommendation. And there's a number of others on things that we're doing well, things we're not doing well. Our stockpile was absolutely inadequate. Our health emergency guidelines and documents at county levels were woefully outdated. So you're going to see a number of these things on what can we learn and what recommendations we're going to make to make California better, because we know the virus is either going to go through its cycles or come back in phases. Either way, it's going to be here until treatments and vaccines are available and resolve the issue.
Obviously, as kind of we've mentioned, this had a big economic hit on your district as well as the entire state of California, some sectors more than others. Are there more things that you foresee the state could do to help businesses kind of stay afloat or get back on their feet during these times?
That's another part of the task force, is trying to figure out ways that we can keep businesses afloat in a way that is sustainable, because I think one of the issues that we've seen is that the debates at the federal level are these stimulus checks. Now, these stimulus checks have been very helpful to a lot of people, but is it sustainable? And I think the answer is no, that the federal government in Washington is not going to continue to provide level of stimulus funding in perpetuity. So I think the idea is, how do we make it easy for businesses to open, stay open, and feel that they are being looked after properly? So one of the pieces of legislation that I have that only last week made it through the Senate, I was very excited about it, and it's on its way to the other house, is regulators in California have extraordinary power. Whether they're business regulators or environmental regulators, California just loves its regulations and the organs that implement and enforce those regulations. So my piece of legislation is finding a way to make certain that there is statutory authority for a regulator to waive or eliminate civil penalties for folks acting in good faith. For example, if you're a major chemical corporation, you're going to have a compliance department, a lot of people who are paid to understand the law and regulations. But what happens if you're a small mom and pop? What happens if you're a medium-sized business that doesn't have that type of compliance department? But you're acting in good faith. You're trying to do the right thing. You want to do the right thing, but it's just the rules are so complicated and confusing. How do you keep up? So this piece of legislation would authorize the state of California departments, the regulators, to waive or eliminate civil penalties for violations under certain conditions. For example, they have to have been acting in bad or been acting in good faith, not in bad faith. They have to have not been doing it deliberately, for example. So this is a way to help our businesses get back into business and stay in business. The other, as I mentioned earlier, is I asked the governor, and on a bipartisan basis, we had senators, we had assembly members, Republicans and Democrats, all signed on to my request that the governor issue an executive order exempting from civil liability businesses from COVID-related lawsuits if they were abiding by all the appropriate health rules and regulations. Let me give you an example. What does that mean? So imagine you're a farmer. You produce an agricultural product that then finds its way into a restaurant. Someone gets sick. They sue the server, they sue the business, then the business sues the farmers. The idea is there needs to be legal protections for businesses because in this environment, once the plaintiff's attorneys get a hold of transmission-related lawsuits, it will shut down the economy, shut it down. So we need to make certain that there are protections in place for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, to make certain that they stay alive and prosper, because if they all go away, or a good percentage go away, we will be in for an economic reckoning.
I know being a Republican in Sacramento can be a challenge to get legislation passed. I have to imagine you're pretty pleased to get bipartisan support.
Absolutely. When the pandemic was at its height and we were in our legislative cycle, the leader of the Senate said, listen, folks, we lost 2.5 months. We cannot have these legislative packages the way they were. We'll never finish. So our priority is that it must be COVID-related, it must be homelessness-related, and from our standpoint, we advocated and were successful that it must be wildfire-related. Those are the three pillars of legislation that if they are not directly pertaining to those three, then you need to kick them out. So many of us just absolutely withdrew all of our pieces of legislation and concentrated on what is going to make California better under those three pillars. And that is the reason why we were able to dramatically reduce the legislation load to focus on the most important stuff. But yes, on a bipartisan basis, it must be done. Not only is it my personality, but it's also effective. You have to be effective in Sacramento, and that means finding the common ground with individuals on topics that you might otherwise disagree with philosophically. But you find that common denominator and you build upon it to be effective for your constituency and for the state of California.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Senator Andreas Borchus on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined by the CAO of Calaveras County, Albert Ault. He's going to give us a recap of the new budget that was approved by the Board of Supervisors and how it will impact county services. Also looking ahead to projects over the coming months. That's next week on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.